Bagwell with us to preach to us. These nights of meeting. You pray for him, and God will help you. Amen. Through the mission. Brother, you mind the Lord and preach as long as needed.
Thank you, sir.
Ain't no strings on it.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Psalm 18 in the Word of God tonight, if you will go to that passage of Scripture, Psalm 18. I didn't know I'd be preaching these verses, had something else on my mind and my heart. But there's been so much tonight about the love of God and the grace of God and the greatness of God. Psalm 18, written by David, the superscript says, I'd like to read the first three verses. Psalm 18, 1, 2, and 3. I will love thee. That's what David said. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Now listen to this second verse. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower, and a whole lot more. Now, them last four words ain't in the King James. Let me make that clear. I will, verse 3, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. You may be seated. Thank you for standing as I read the Word of God. David has shared with us tonight, I believe, his testimony in these verses. But more than that, he shared for us, or with us, a recipe, if I can use that word. It is a recipe for success and victory in the Christian life, particularly in this area. Look at the end of verse 3. So shall I be saved, delivered, rescued from mine enemies. Whatever he's doing here, he's absolutely confident it's the key to victory over your enemies. Now, we tend to think, well, preacher, I don't have any enemies. If you're saved, you've got some enemies. There's no doubt about that. And we'll investigate. Somebody asked me the other day, they said these verses, they'll tell you how to be saved from your enemies. Somebody wanted to know, did it work? Did it work in David's life? Read the superscript. Let's read those little bitty italicized words are in some Bibles right above verse 1. Watch it. To the chief musician, the psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies. I got two words to add there. It worked. It did work. God has delivered David from his enemies. We'll take it a verse at a time this evening. Starts off, David says, I will love thee, O Lord. You notice how much tonight, literally, we've sung about the love of God. We love him because he first loved us. And I got to thinking, telling me how much God loved me and all God did for me. Least thing I can do is try to love him back a little bit here tonight. He's been so good. I will love thee, O Lord. Now, normally, there's a little Hebrew verb for love used dozens and dozens of times. Beautiful definition with it. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just scraps that word. He just lays it aside and he picks out another word here for love. I will love thee, O Lord. Preacher, when you look it up, concordance, dictionary, whatever tool you use. The word he uses for love here is the common Hebrew word for, and this is just going to surprise you, it's for the word intestines. Isn't that strange? You sure about that, Brother Bagel? Oh, I looked it up. He uses the word for intestines, and the Holy Ghost says it means to love. Go figure that out. How can a word for one's insides mean love? Here's the background behind it, or this is what the teachers say anyway. Have you ever heard anybody, and this is a country expression now, have you ever heard anybody talk about having a gut feeling? And I don't mean that to be crude, a gut feeling. What does it mean? I'll need an amen. It means you're feeling it from way down inside. It means you're feeling it all over your being. And David said, I love him. He said, I can't help it. I love him with an emotional love. I love him with a deep felt love. I love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my might. I'll need an amen. David loved Jesus. I will love thee, O Lord. And then to top that off, in the Old Testament, similar word in the New does the same thing. The word that's usually rendered as intestine about half the time. The other half the time, and you ladies listen now, it is the word womb. Oh, well, that which is deepest within me, the intestines. Now, the womb. How'd that get in there? David wouldn't say, I love him with all my... It is one of the most feminized, if I can use that word, one of the most feminized verbs in all the Old Testament. I just want to make an announcement. Ladies can love him too. He saves ladies. He washes their sin in his blood, and they can go to heaven also. Praise God. This thing's not just for men. Say amen right there. Thank God for the ladies who love him. I will love thee, O Lord. Word there's the, as you can obviously tell, it's the word Jehovah, the name Jehovah. We Baptists have gotten scared to death of the name Jehovah. We don't want to use the name. I ain't going to let some cult that don't believe in hell scare me out of the name Jehovah. Hallelujah. That's a valid name of God. It's used 6,500 times in the Old Testament. Thank God. You say, what does it mean? Literally, it means the God who is, the God who is. I'm glad he's not the God who ain't. Can I get an amen there? The God who is. He's not the God who was. He's not the God who's going to be. His name is I am that I am. Always, eternally. Self-existent one. I will love thee, O Lord. Now you see how the psalm begins. Sort of making love. Sort of glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go a little further. In verse 1. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. O Lord, my strength. He calls the Lord his strength. And now, and this may be boring to you, I don't know. Every one of these words, they're metaphors for the most part, and they give word pictures of what the Lord God Almighty is to David. And he's got to be an old man by now. He's been delivered from all of his enemies. He's got some age. Oh Lord, my strength. The word behind strength there means to give sustenance, to give stamina. It means to be firm. It means to be erect. And the best illustration I can think of tonight is this. Of course, it's rained now today. When you first set your tomato plant, how many of you have got some tomato plants set out? I just want to see. All over the building. When you set them tomato plants out, it's out there a while and it didn't rain that first day. Y'all go look at them, they'd be all wilted over. You'd put a little water on them. You wouldn't have to wait but an hour or two. I'm going to need an amen here. And them wilted tomato plants, help me out, please, would be firm and erect all over again. Amen. I don't know if you're getting this or not. David said there's been many a time in my Christian life I was all wilted over. I was in a mess. I wasn't where I needed to be. But he said, glory to God, a good spring shower of the Holy Ghost of God, a good bath in the living Word of God. And he said, I ain't wilted no more. Hallelujah. The Lord is my strength. Has he ever done that for you?
Amen.
The Lord is my strength. But David doesn't stop there. He goes right on into verse number 2. And he says, I want to tell you real quick, the Lord is my rock.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is my rock. And I just use the computer. It gives any number of resources. And I just let it tell me those word pictures. And I'll declare, that word rock, it means a high rock, an elevated rock.
Amen.
It's a huge boulder up yonder somewhere.
Yeah.
And the implication is there's a little crevice underneath that rock. There's a little cave back behind that thing. And the idea is when the devil gets after you, when the enemy gets after you, when the prey gets after you, glory to God, I know where I can run. I can get up yonder in the cleft of the rock, and I'll be safe, and nobody, thank God, can do me any harm. I love you, Lord. You're my strength, and you're my rock. Hallelujah to God. Y'all see it so far, don't you? What else, preacher? He's your strength and he's your rock. Let's see. David will tell us in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my, tell me that next word out loud. Somebody tell me.
Fortress.
One more time, tell me.
Fortress.
He is my fortress.
Yes.
Now get this. The word there for fortress comes from their verb to hunt, to fish successfully. You kill some game. The idea is basically this. The prey, P-R-E-Y, the prey, the killed game, the caught fish. The word means, and I want you to get it now, provision or supplies. Provision or supplies. I get that part. The Lord's my strength. I'm not wilted anymore. And I get that. He's my rock. High up yonder, I can run, and there I can climb and be safe. But I don't get that part. He's my fortress. Being an evangelist, week after week, you're either in a motel room or a prophet's chamber somewhere. You go into some prophet's chambers, and I'm not being critical. God knows I'm not. Be glad to go into them again. If God, you go into some of them and they're dark and they're dingy. If you can get through the spider webs, you can find the bed. Say amen right there. But occasionally, and it happened this week, you get into a prophet's chamber and they've prepared it well. It's spotless and clean. And you open the refrigerator and it's loaded down.
Amen.
And there are goodies all over the table. That God said this. He said, when the enemy gets after you, I'm your high rock. You can run up there and be safe. But he said, when you get safe up there, I just want you to know the table is already spread.
Amen.
He's got provision waiting for me. When I get up yonder in his high ark of safety, glory to God. He can provide a table in the wilderness.
Amen, preacher.
Y'all see it, don't you?
Amen.
He's my strength. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's provided all that I need. Let me make verse 2. He's not only my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. And Mine delivered. You preachers get this? The word there for deliver means to rescue, to snatch, to fetch, to use an old-fashioned verb. I got to thinking, what if the devil ambushes me? What if my enemy comes unexpectedly and I can't run up yonder to that high ark of safety? What if I'm so overwhelmed by the enemy I can't make it to the table spread and waiting on me? God says, I've got some good news. I hope you'll amen this. God says, I make house calls. You might not can make it to me, but I'll come to you. And he'll rescue me. He'll fetch me out of that dangerous situation. Hey, y'all, that sort of sounds like a rapture a little bit to me, right?
He
can bring about my escape.
Yes, sir, preacher.
I think these word pictures build one upon another. You say, what in the world is David doing? Just what the moderator said a minute ago, I hope you'll smile. He's bragging on the Lord.
Amen.
He's bragging on the Lord. All right, preacher. Up under he's my rock. He provided all of my fortress, my deliverer. Then he says, he's my God, my strength. My God, my strength. Here with God, and I'm reviewing. The preachers are ahead of me here. That's God's name, Elohim. Except he does not use the full name Elohim here. The text that gives us our King James Bible uses just the name El. El. What in the world does it mean, Brother Bagwell? And if you'll say amen, I can quickly get on to the next word picture here. It's the God who is strong.
Amen. Amen.
Technically, even more than his name, El Shaddai. El, Elohim God. He's the Almighty God. He's the Omnipotent. Can I make an announcement? Ain't nothing he can't do.
Amen.
He is the one who can meet my need. If I'm going to stay in fix with the devil, if they're going to be enemies after me all the time, I'm sure going to need a big God.
Amen.
Going to need a strong God. And he is available. Elohim, my God, my strength.
Amen.
My strength. And figure this out. How many of y'all believe every word in the Bible is inspired? Then no words here are being wasted. My strength. Preacher, honestly, that's another one of those rock words. But it has this nuance of meaning. Strong's, I believe it is, says it means a rock wall. Now the other word for rock meant a rock way up yonder, in a high place where the enemy can't reach it very easily. This is just a rock wall.
Amen.
And it is usually used in conjunction with another rock wall.
Amen.
We got two rock walls fairly close together.
Amen.
Watch. In a place, and of course I know I'm in North Carolina, but in North Georgia, extreme North Georgia, there's an amusement area, a natural attraction called Rock City. Anybody ever heard of it? Y'all don't travel a lot, do you? somebody told me just recently, in Rock City, there's one of those formations with two rock walls side by side. Preacher, they're so close together. They call it, and this is a quote from somebody that said, they call it, I think this is what they said, fat man's squeeze, I believe is what they said. I'm sorry I brought that up already. Fat man's squeeze. And here's the implication. If the devil's after you, the enemy's coming to get you, and you are spiritually, this got nothing to do with your weight or physically, spiritually spiritually fit. I'm trying to say everything I can to stay away from physically fit. It's what I'm trying to do. If you are spiritually fit, you can squeeze in between those two rock walls. Have I got some good news for you? Amen. The devil can't touch you.
Amen.
He can't harm you. He can't lay a hand on you. And guess who is my rock wall? It is the Lord God Almighty.
Amen.
Wouldn't you love to be in there squeezed in real tight and the devil go by and just stick your tongue out at that rascal? Can't harm you when you're in the cleft of the rock of the Lord God Almighty. One word picture after another, David is sharing with us. Look, it goes over, Master, in whom I will trust. Now we've got a verb. And I think some of you can enlighten me. I think it's about the first verb we've got in the second verse. In whom I will trust. You look up that little verb, and every lexicon I've ever seen says it means this. Quote, to flee for safety. End quote. To flee for safety. Brother Bagel, what in the world? To flee for safety. My mind goes back to when I was a youngster. That's years and years ago, obviously. Well, you didn't have to laugh, you little smart Alex. We played a game, and I'm going to take a little survey in a minute. We played a game called Tag. How many of you have ever played it? We're showing our age, aren't we? No, it's not a video game. Not a thing electronic about it. Don't even need batteries. Somebody out there in the field is it. And they don't want to be it. And all they got to do is run down somebody and tag them, touch them. And then you're it. And you got to do all the running and all the chasing. Or you stay it if you don't. And I don't know how y'all play it in North Carolina, but down in South Carolina, we had in that game called tag, we had something called base. Did y'all have base? And if you could get to base, you's all right. It didn't matter who it was. They can't bother you if you're on base.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, it is. It is a picture of this verb. When the devil gets after me, and the devil sure thinks he's it. Say amen right there. When the devil gets after me, thank God I know where to go. The answer's not the psychologist. The answer's not the philosopher. Don't throw some amens in here. The answer's not the counselor. The answer, I'll run to the Lord God Almighty. He is my refuge. He is my base. Hallelujah. And I'll hold on to him.
Amen. Amen.
To flee for refuge.
Amen.
To flee for safety. Y'all see it, don't you?
Amen.
In whom I'll trust. What? My buckler. He just called the Lord a buckler. What in the world is a buckler? Yes. When you look up the word, it will simply tell you it's a shield. But, now all the preachers know this anyway, maybe all of you do. In Old Testament and New Testament cultures, there were two shields, two kinds of shields. One is small, usually round and handheld, small and light enough, you can wield it pretty easily so that in your other hand, I'm going to need an amen, you can hold a sword.
Amen.
That's for hand-to-hand combat. Little shield. Buckler doesn't mean the little shield. Buckler means, I'll just need an amen. You see the application here. It means great big sheep.
Amen.
In fact, we're in Hebrew, we're in Old Testament. But were we in Ephesians 6 tonight? Here's how big that shield was. The word for shield is identical to the Hebrew, to the Greek noun for door. Shield and door are the same words. Well, how do you know if it's a shield or a door, if it's the same word? The Holy Ghost will show them, and He did, by context. Oh, I don't know. That's a pretty big door over there. Say amen. You don't believe a shield's that big? I sort of think it is. The word for shield here means to wrap around, to surround. It has the idea of a shield. I hope you... Would y'all smile a little bit? You're acting like you're going to have a test when this thing is over. Just smile and relax. This shield wraps around the top of me. It'll curve around on the right side.
Amen.
It'll curve around on the left side.
Amen.
I just want to make an announcement. If He's going to protect you, I got a feeling He's going to protect you all over. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Underneath me are the everlasting arms.
Amen.
Up above me is His ever watchful eye.
Yeah.
He's the shade on my right
yes.
hand. He's my rear ward behind me.
Amen.
He'll be beside me everywhere I go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Aren't you glad He's your buckler tonight?
Amen.
Let the devil shoot his fiery darts. I know rascal's going to do that, but he can't harm us if the Lord is our buckler.
Amen.
Is this making any sense to you? It's fitting together. Looks to me like David said, the Lord's my buckler. I got to hurt. Now watch. And the horn of my salvation.
Amen.
The horn of my salvation. Interesting word there for horn. All it is an animal's horn. Presumably the animal's dead. They cut off his horns. They hollowed the horn out. And they used it for, well, two main things in the Old Testament. They would fill it with oil or other liquids, cap it off with a wax seal, and it became their bottle. They didn't have glass bottles. They didn't have plastic bottles. In all likelihood, when Samuel anointed David, he opened up a horn of fresh oil and poured it on that future king's head. A flask, a bottle. Second use, you hollow it out. You cut some holes in the side. You blow in one end of it. You learn to where to put your fingers up and down the holes, and it becomes, act surprised, a musical instrument. Wasn't that beautiful, that orchestra playing here last night, glorifying God, my. A horn can be a container, a flask can be a musical instrument. Here's number three. It can be still hooked on to a mean, I'll need an amen, raging bull.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm just curious, a crowd this big. Anybody here ever had a mad bull after you? Well, the moderator has. And here are some young folks. Nobody else. Oh, yeah, there are a few here and there. I guarantee you the day that bull got after you, you were not worried about what color his eyes were.
Amen.
The two things you was worried about, help me out. You was worried about them horns heading your way.
Yeah.
The horn is a picture of power. It's a picture of strength.
Yeah.
It's a picture of something on the attack mode. It's
yeah.
a picture of something that means business. And he said, the Lord is the, I'll need an amen, the horn of my salvation.
Amen.
For the first time, preacher, everything so far has been defensive. When the devil's after me, I'll run up under that high rock and I'll be safe. He'll feed me when I get there. If I don't make it, he'll snatch me out of here. He's my buckler. Everything is defensive. But all of a sudden, God hands me two horns. God says, put them on. I hope I get an amen. And attack the devil. Let him have it. Charge! Or if you're British, tally-ho. Go get them. Amen. I don't know how that tally-ho got in there, but it did. I'm glad we're not only able to defend against the enemy, I'm glad every now and then we can attack that rascal. He's the horn of my salvation. But I think that might not be quite to end. Yeah, verse 2. And my high tower. I started to ask if I had time to preach this point, but I know that I do.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I have been 3 or 4 times told, don't worry about the time.
Right.
Well, 6 of you agree with me. High tower? What in the world is that? It's got nothing to do with rock. It's got nothing to... This can be a constructed tower made out of wood. Or it can be even a high tower. Why would he say God's his high tower? Well, that just depends on if you've had any experience as a shepherd. Because them shepherds, well, the vineyard owners did too. They'd build them high towers. Then they'd go up there in their high tower on toward evening. And they'd look around. Because from the high tower, I hope you'll at least nod, you can see an enemy approaching.
Amen.
A long way before he gets there.
Amen.
And if you know that rascal's coming, help me, you can be waiting on him.
Amen.
Brother Bagwell, you can see the enemy come. The Lord's my high tower. Thank God he can lead me not into temptation.
Amen.
Hey, help me. He can deliver me from evil.
Amen.
He can scatter the enemy in front of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See the enemy coming. And then the textbooks say they'd put some rocks, big boulders, up there in their high tower. And if that dumb enemy kept getting closer and closer and closer, this is what you do. Boom! You say, that's bloody. You just don't know the half of it, I'll tell you that. I'm glad God's my high tower. I can see what the devil's up to through his vantage point, and I can drop. I can stop him in his tracks.
Amen. Amen.
He's my high tower.
Amen. Amen.
Now, we're ready for verse 3. How do I respond to a God who is all those things? Verse number 3. I will call upon the Lord. The verb call means to cry out loud. It actually means, preacher, it is translated sometimes to summons. It's the cry that says, Lord, I need you. Lord, I've got to have... I had a man tell me. He said, I didn't call on the Lord when things were going well. And he said, I'm certainly not going to call on him now that things have gone bad. That is the nuttiest statement I've ever heard in my life. Shame on me if I didn't call on him when things are going good. But you better mark her down when my world starts falling apart. I'm heading to the Lord. Hallelujah. I am going to call on his name. I will call on the Lord. David said, I'll just get to prayer. If you got somebody who's your... My, you can run up there and be safe. He's giving you all kind of provision. Thank God. He'll snatch you out of danger. He is your buckler and your shield and your safe. Why in the world wouldn't you call on?
Amen.
Are y'all getting that part? I'm worried. I'll just ask him to help me. Why? because of this. Verse 3, in the middle of verse 3, and I'm hurrying. The Lord who is worthy to be praised. Anybody agree with that?
Amen.
Who is worthy to be praised. The word there for praised, it's the prefix to hallelujah, hallel. It means to be made bright, to be made to shine. But virtually, bottom line, it means to magnify, to uplift, to extol. Preacher, your word sort of got me thinking about this, sitting back under. Here's what it means. If you'll smile and say amen, it'll cut 5 minutes off this sermon, I think. It means bragging on the Lord.
Amen.
He is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
And don't look now, but guess what David's been doing for two verses? He is my strength. He's the one I can run to and he'll keep me safe. He's provided the table for me and the presence. He'll snatch me up. He's my all. He's my everything. David's been bragging on the Lord. He can now call on God. God's worthy to be praised. I call that living right. How about you?
Amen.
I call that a spirit of revival. I call that the atmosphere of camp meeting. He's a loving the Lord. Like. We ought to love him after all the love we've heard about here tonight. Then, therefore, consequently, resultantly, last of verse 3, so shall I be saved from my enemies. Preacher, the word there for enemies, as in the word for hostility. Somebody that hates me, that despises me. Here's all I'm saying. I think the key to victory in most areas of the Christian life is worshiping Him, loving Him, adoring Him. I'm going to keep using adjectives so y'all get to saying amen.
Amen.
Magnifying Him. Extolling Him, uplifting Him, telling Him how precious He is to us. We'll get to doing that. He said, I guarantee you brag on me. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll need an amen. I'll just chase the devil out from around. I'll save you from all your enemies. Y'all reckon God can do that? I reckon He can. And I reckon He did in the life of David. Enemies, you say that's the devil? Could be. Enemies, that little fellow on the job that's lying about me? Could be, I don't know, could be. I'll tell you another enemy a lot of us have got, doubt.
Oh yeah, yeah. Amen. Amen.
Well, that didn't get much mileage. Let me try this one. Fear.
Amen.
Worry.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Them little old pesky sins that so easily beset us.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
They're enemies. But I have a sneaking suspicion tonight if I'll practice verse 1 and verse 2 and love Him and praise Him and adore Him, He'll take care of verse 3 and scare every one of them pesky little things slap out of my life.
Amen. Amen.
That's what He said He'd do.
Yeah.
And I believe He will.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, I know, because I'll get an email about it, or I'll get a... Somebody says... That wasn't no sermon. I don't know. Might not have been. I've been told before, we don't understand why you're so busy. You don't do revival preaching. I had a man tell me, he's a little bit irritated. He said, and I didn't help matters none when I told him to respond to it. He said, you don't preach sermons. He said, all you do is give little glorified Sunday school lessons. Call it anything you want to. It is the Word of God.
Amen.
And I got a pretty good idea if we'll adore Him and love Him and worship Him, He'll scatter our enemies just like this. And if I've gone to camp meeting on Tuesday night and learned how to scatter them little rascals that are bothering me and plaguing me, I believe I'll say hallelujah to God. I started raising that leg and forgot I was in the chair instead of on the platform. That's why it came down and hurt. And all God's people said,
amen.
Would you stand with us together?
Amen.
We'll bow our heads. We'll close our eyes. The musicians will come, song leader already got something on his heart. I wonder if God's got any young'uns here tonight. Might want to gather around this altar a minute and say, Lord, I just need to get to loving you more. I just need to brag on you and magnify you and lift you up a little more. I wonder if there's anybody here tonight. You'd say, Preacher Bagwell, I already know an enemy that's a plague in the daylights after me. He's a chasing me at every turn in the road. And I want to bring it to the Lord tonight, and I want to claim victory over it in my life and in my heart. You do what God leads you to do this evening. The recipe for victory over my enemies. Psalm 18, 1 and 2 and 3. They're going to play softly a minute. The invitation is going to be, what would you say, extended, open. You come if God were to nudge you. Somebody ought to thank him. He's your strength. Lift you up when you're wilted. I'm glad he's my rock. He's high enough and far enough and strong enough. The devil can't get to him. He's my fortress. When I get in that high place of safety, the table is spread. He's my deliverer. If I'm weak and can't make it, he'll come where I am and snatch me away. The God in whom I trust, he's base. He's the ark of my safety. He's my buckler, defending me from all sides. And then he gives me horns of salvation with which to attack the raging enemy. Preacher, so what? Ought to get us to calling on the Lord. Ought to get us to loving him. Ought to get us to prostrating ourselves before him, sharing our burdens and our needs. Ought to get us busy lifting him up and bragging on him and adoring him. And consequently, he said, I'll save you from your enemies. No need for us to live a defeated life. He just told us how we can overcome. 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, we're called overcomers because of these truths in the Word of God. Let's just give the Holy Ghost a few minutes to work in our hearts and our lives. Then let's tell him we love him a little bit. Thank him for what he's done for us. Brother Tim, go ahead and give us that number.